Well, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. We don't have a lot of time together today. And we do recognize it's the end of the afternoon, so we're going to move pretty quickly. Greg, thank you. Thank you. For those of you I've not had an opportunity to meet, my name is Cindy DeYoust, and I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes with you this afternoon. And I'll start by telling you that my presentation was described as the boring presentation. So it's a good thing that I'm only going to spend a few minutes with you. I'm going to be presenting in what's traditionally known as a visual or spatial learning style. So for people that are very comfortable reading PowerPoints, looking at charts, graphs, things like that, and candidly, a more traditional presentation style. It's one that speakers are quite often very comfortable with. But part of what you're going to hear from us today is it's not necessarily always the best method of presentation. And you may tell me by the time you walk out of here that you absolutely agree with that. So if I'm boring, I'm going to blame it on the learning style. But we are going to spend just a few minutes today, and I'm going to get right into the objectives of our session. We're going to be sharing with you all today some information from the Future of Meetings Task Force. We were a group that was brought together last July by Bruce McMillan. It's a great cross-functional, cross-representation of the industry on our team. What we're going to do today is divide our session into two active parts. The first one, I'm going to give you a little bit of background about the Future of Meetings Task Force, what our vision was, what our deliverables were. And then we're going to have you go down the hall, begin on the roadmap or the road to the future of meetings, and candidly just share a glimpse of what we believe the future of meetings will look like. So that will be a much more interactive session. Then we're going to ask you to do a little bit of work. When we're together in the other session, after we share with you three different learning styles, we're going to ask some feedback. We are going to share very high-level content in the other session because we don't have a lot of time together. We'll keep it pretty high-level. But we're going to deliver it in three different learning styles. So what we'd like to hear back from you will be a reaction to the learning styles. Do you see that there's an opportunity to deliver content in a different way that could be more meaningful, more relevant for attendees? And how did you receive and how did you take away the content? So, without further ado, let's talk a little bit about the task force. The highlight of the task force, candidly, and I touched on a little bit this morning in the opening session, we were asked to look at the meeting professional world and the world of learning experts and see where they come together and really examine what is available, what information is available in the industry, what gaps do these two professional organizations, professionals, really come together. And candidly, one of the findings is more often than not, they really don't in a meeting planning process. And really understand what are the research opportunities that need to be done to help evolve our industry to the future. So the deliverable that we have as a team is to develop a roadmap, but I'm going to talk about it in just a minute as a plan to a plan. I don't want to set the expectation that this task force would propose that we can tell you what the future of meetings will be. We did need to narrow our focus and look at something that was, we felt, very manageable for our group, so I'll share that with you in just a minute. But the roadmap that we share will have some recommendations around tools, information, methodologies that we believe will be critical as we do move into a new future of meetings. Our timeline for the work that we did, we started in July. We actually kicked off with WEC. And this really was our last meeting together, was here at this session yesterday. So we'll be doing our report out at the end of this month. Again, I talked about a plan to a plan. There are many other groups, such as ourselves, that have been sponsored by MPI that are working on different projects. We believe these things will dovetail nicely, and that will ultimately be the future of meetings. So one task force unto itself will not describe the future. We believe the work is very synergistic, very complementary, and as we've gotten some of the feedback from the other groups, we think that in WEC in July, that you should expect a nice update. So what was the scope? When we started, we were a little overwhelmed, and actually, we had a few meetings that you could probably describe as storming, not really performing, because we couldn't get our arms around what our deliverables were. This was just too big. So the only way that we felt we could be effective and actually deliver something of value was to narrow the force. narrow the focus. We did decide to look at the attendee perspective on meetings, and I'll tell you a little bit about how we got there. For those of you that attended either PEC or WEC last year, Bruce McMillan and Elliot Mazie conducted think tanks, and they were aimed at looking at what the biggest challenges were in the meetings industry. At PEC, the output was about 30 different challenges. The second think tank at WEC narrowed it down to 7. Of the 7 most significant challenges moving forward that people felt were going to be really the difficult and the drivers of change for the meetings business, all related to attendees. Their perspective, their needs around personalized communication, personalized interaction, different feeling that agendas were more personalized to them. So this notion of attendees' educational needs. So that's what we chose as the focus of our group. The question that needs to be answered is, how do we get ahead of what attendees are looking for, and then how do we actually deliver to their expectations? So that was the core of the work that we've done. The approach that we took, candidly, it's not formal research, it's more anecdotal. What we chose to do was a combination of surveys and interviews, and then we also reviewed content that's published and available out in the marketplace. We were very blessed to have a combination, as I said earlier, of academic experts, people that were from the supplier organization, people that are professional planners, people that are planners from outside the United States. So we did have a nice cross-grouping of representation on the task force. The purpose of the research that we did really had a couple of primary drivers. We wanted to also look beyond what we knew today and find out if there are economic and environmental drivers. Why is the industry changing so dramatically right now? Intuitively, we knew some of the answers, but we really felt we needed to do a little bit more digging to get into that. The other piece that was important, since we really were looking at this notion of the attendee, we needed to understand, was there really thing out in the industry that talked about the value of gaining attendee input? I think we've all probably conducted surveys of attendees. We found out that post-program, they liked the dinner, they didn't like the hotel, they liked the, you know, really focused on logistical aspects of the meeting. We wanted to understand if others ahead of us had really looked at this notion of getting input from the attendees beyond the logistical aspect prior to the meeting, and how could that be incorporated into the design of the meeting. The good news is we did find out there's quite a significant amount of information that's available. And perhaps the most important question that we wanted to answer was, do the constituents that were represented in our surveys and our interviews feel they have the tools, the methodologies, and the ability to impact the change that we believe is coming? So who did we talk to? Who were the constituents? We did our best to try to make sure that we represented all the different perspectives that show up in the meeting planning process. So we looked at everything from novice planners, people that would be future planners, up through senior planners. Very interesting, we talked to speakers. Some of the data that we got from speakers, very, very insightful to us. Speakers and suppliers probably struggle, if not as much as planners, perhaps more so, because they're trying to guess what it is we need for our attendees. And that's expensive. That's difficult. So great insight. And if you're a speaker, someone asked about Twitter this morning. I think Terry asked one of the panelists about Twitter. Personally, I know what Twitter can do to a speaker, because if you don't know your audience and people start twittering that they're not happy, this is not working for me, all of a sudden everyone can stand up because they all know what they're all thinking. It's a very new and different dynamic. So we got a lot of rich feedback from the speakers. Suppliers, we looked beyond the traditional hoteliers, DMCs, our AV partners. We really wanted to understand from technology partners, because they see into the future. They're developing technology. And up until this point, we've traditionally used technology just to increase the efficiency of a process, take cost out. We haven't really used it to personalize the experience for the attendee. Learning experts, and I mentioned this earlier, you know, the big aha for us, and it's one of those things you tend to know, but until you really call it out, you don't realize how important it is. Over and over and over again, we heard planners are in one silo, learning experts are in another. Typically, content is developed in one area of the company, and then handed to a planner to execute a meeting. How does that create an effective learning environment? So very consistent with what we intuitively knew, but we had a little bit more scientific research to support it. And then we did want to look at our friends outside of the U.S., and what was interesting, we actually found in this area, when you look at the focus on the attendees' perspective and more of a meetings effectiveness notion, outside the U.S., they're a little bit ahead of where we are here in the U.S. Much more welcome, and I think part of that is the way that travel and tourism are looked at. The positions are very elevated. I think there is a recognition of the value that meetings and travel and tourism contribute to the economic picture. So that was a nice piece of information for us. And again, we mentioned we did look at the voice of the attendee, the published content. I won't spend a lot of time here because each one of you could probably draw this map. But I'll remind everyone that we started this research back in July. At that time, the things on the left-hand side were really key drivers. We looked at technology, and again, the way that technology is being used now to personalize experiences rather than just take cost out. That was certainly a big driver of change. Communication styles, people preferring to communicate via blogs, group spaces, Twitter, Facebook, things like that. So technology was a big driver of change. 6 months ago, we were talking about sustainability and being green. And while we're still talking about that, and we're talking about the need to be good corporate and global citizens, that's secondary to taking cost out. I think the economic pressures really have stepped up and above everything else. And so then when you go to the right side, this increased scrutiny, how do we really make sure that we were providing transparency of spend and that at some method, whether it's ROI, ROE, ROO, whatever you call it, there is some methodology that is approved and agreed upon within your organization to demonstrate the value of the meeting that's being conducted. And candidly, that's the place that most people are stuck, is really trying to figure out and agree upon what the methodology is to really demonstrate that value. The other huge driver of change is this notion of diversity. Not only do we have cultural diversity, which I think we've all been aware of for probably the last 10, 15 years, but even as I look around this group, we have, for the first time, 5 different generations represented in a workforce. I know within my own home, I had children very young and children very late. I have probably 3 just within my own family. So trying to message, and anyone has teenagers, trying to message and get your content delivered in a way that's meaningful is more challenging than it's ever been. When you add to that learning styles, how people absorb information and how they process information, how they want to receive information, it just makes it that much more complex. So we felt this described the landscape that we're in today, and it's only going to get worse as we continue on. So what were the key nuggets that we had to take away? And I will move through this very quickly because these are high level. The voice of the attendee, I mentioned that there is enough information to demonstrate that, frankly, that's valuable. We should be getting the voice of the attendee prior to the design of the meeting. Traditional methods don't really work. Surveys tend to be after the fact. They tend to be logistically focused. And for me, the most important part was the last one. Surveys tend to tell us what we want to hear, not what participants want to share. That's really a big difference. There's information they want to give us. It's not necessarily what we ask them. The current state, and I mentioned this morning, people are aligned. They know there are changes coming. They know that we need to focus more on effective meetings, delivering effective meetings, being able to measure the success of meetings. Challenges, there aren't industry established standards. We have not embraced a methodology or a selection of methodologies. Because of that, stakeholders are so focused on cost reduction, they're not willing to look at what they perceive to be either emotional or non-scientific methodologies that may in fact cost them more. So their approach is to reduce meetings, eliminate meetings, take cost out. The other thing, and I've said this before, is typically we don't see planners and learning experts working together. And certainly planners are trying new things, but they're guessing. Just as our suppliers and our partners are, we're trying to guess what attendees and ultimate users would value in a learning environment. So now we're going to have some fun. We're going to move to the room 206. It is actually in the next room. It's a little bit of a walk. What's going to happen? We're going to share with you three different styles of learning, and we have some leaders in the back that will take you down the beginning of the road. We're going to ask, hopefully, for some feedback, but before we do, we want to create an awareness of these different learning styles. And it's not just the content that you deliver. It's not just how you deliver it or who delivers it, but it's also the makeup of the room. I'm also going to set an expectation that that room is the same size as this room. We have three different learning styles, so it could be a little chaotic. And we're going to hope that you're okay with that. The idea, though, is to move around very quickly and experience a sampling of what these different learning styles are. Then we're going to regroup in that same room and ask you for some feedback. Did you hear the content? So were we able to deliver the content? And did you understand kind of the impact of these different learning styles? So with that, I thank my helpers. Ange?
This concludes our recordable portion of this session. Thank you.